in the last 2 years that you have been on the program, has technology changed where physicists have gotten more information, more incredible information about what the universe is, how it may have been formed?
Well, yeah, in a way, yes. I mean, this is an incredible time in observational cosmology. Our picture of the universe is changing as rapidly as you can imagine, and partly because what listeners should realize is that 80 years ago, just 80 years ago, we knew of one galaxy in the universe, the Milky Way galaxy. And then Edwin Hubble, looking through the Mount Wilson telescope, was able to show these little fuzzy things in our galaxy called nebulae, which is Greek for fuzzy thing, where in fact other island universes, other galaxies. We now know there are over 100 billion galaxies in the observable universe, and only 80 years ago we knew of one of them. So we're kind of like the medieval map makers in a way. We're just beginning to learn about the large-scale structure of the universe, and you will learn. If you read the newspapers, you'll see new discoveries about the universe happening all the time. Our picture is solidifying, and in fact, however, I mean, it's not as if, for example, we know the Big Bang happened, and it's unlikely that any evidence we discover from now on is going to change that picture. But we are learning that the universe is accelerating. The expansion of the universe is speeding up, not slowing down, like it should in any sensible universe. Any universe where gravity sucks, as it normally does, instead of becoming... In our universe is dominated by kind of cosmic anti-gravity, and it was... Now, that discovery is more than 2 years old, I'm sorry, but at the same time, it's so mysterious that we are continually trying to learn about the nature of that expansion to see what is driving the acceleration of the universe. It seems to be an energy in empty space, and we really don't understand it at all. We are learning about the geometry of the universe, the way space is curved in the presence of matter. We're learning about the way galaxies are distributed throughout the universe. Just recently, for example, your listeners may have read about it got a lot of attention, a giant void in the universe where there are very few galaxies and lots of dark matter. Dark matter is this stuff that appears to dominate even our own galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there have been beautiful new pictures that demonstrate that dark matter is indeed probably made of some new type of elementary particle. There was a very fascinating discovery of something called the Bullet Cluster, which involved two galaxies that had collided a long time ago, far, far away. And we are able to look at that and see that the regular matter appeared to get stuck in the middle, and the dark matter seemed to go right through one galaxy to the other and is flowing outward. It really demonstrates that this weird stuff, dark matter, which when I was a graduate student was even very preliminary and very provisional, is really out there and dominating the universe. And the great thing is that if it's really made of some new type of elementary particle, it's not just out there. It's in your radio studio and in my condo right now, and it's going right through both of us. And we can actually do experiments here on Earth to detect it. And there are new experiments being created all the time to look for this stuff.
Is the universe, at least the one we're talking about, we'll get into multiverses yeah. later on tonight, is the universe growing in that its knowledge, whatever the order is in the universe, Professor? There just seems to be so much practicality to it. I mean, things just form because they're supposed to. They're in order. It's just amazing. It's like it's alive. It's real.
Well, it may seem that way, I guess. It's the universe, as far as we can tell, there's no design to the universe. There's no planning to the universe. But, you know, the interesting thing is it's sort of a backwards effect. It's really kind of like evolution, in fact, here on Earth. It looks like, if you look at, it's amazing that bumblebees can find flowers of a certain color and live near them, and it looks like it's all planned. But, of course, if the flowers weren't there, the bumblebees wouldn't survive, or if the bumblebees couldn't find the flowers, they wouldn't survive, and therefore it's not too surprising they thrive in just the right place. We are thriving because the conditions are appropriate for our existence. Now, in fact, one of the things that has happened in the last few years is a kind of disconcerting notion among physicists, but it may be true, that some fundamental quantities, like the energy of the universe, may in fact not be determined by basic laws that require them to have the values we measure, but that there may be a multitude of universes in each of which the laws of physics are different. And in our universe, they have the values they do, because if they are any different, we wouldn't be here to observe them. And so it seems remarkable that the concepts of nature are what they are, just so we can be here. But in fact, it's not quite that way at all. It's just that had they not been what they were, we wouldn't have evolved. And so it may be that there are many, many different universes, and we happen to be in the one that allows us to be around, because if it didn't allow us to be around, we wouldn't be on this radio program right now.
Well, that's a good point. Does it tell you, though, because of its sophistication, that there's got to be, because you're an advocate against intelligent design, there's got to be some intelligence behind this?
Well, I'm not an advocate against intelligent design. I'm an advocate for science. And the notion that there could be, that life is intelligently designed is not itself a ridiculous question. The only problem with it is that there's no evidence when we look at the universe or look at life that it's designed. That in particular, evolutionary biology explains completely the diversity of all life that's been seen on Earth and allows us to make predictions that are vital to our health, to create new drugs, pharmaceuticals. And so the problem is that though there are people who claim that they have this idea called intelligent design and that it's good science and competitive to evolutionary biology, but the truth is it just isn't. Evolutionary biology has been around for 100 years, 150 years, and it has satisfied every test that we've thrown at it, whereas the notion that life is designed simply has made no predictions that are satisfied by any observation. And so I have no problem with people asking the question, is life designed or is the universe designed? The problem is right now there's no evidence in either case that it has been, and therefore we shouldn't force our teachers to pretend that notion is as valid as evolutionary biology. It's like forcing our teachers to suggest that the notion that the sun goes around the earth is just as valid as the notion the earth goes around the sun. Well, it just isn't, and it would be a waste of time to force our physics teachers to teach them that. And so there's been a huge scam pervade upon the American public, and most people buy it. Most people think evolution is a controversial scientific discipline. It isn't. It's the basis of modern biology. There's no controversy, and it does a remarkable job explaining pretty well everything we see about life on Earth. It is one of the greatest scientific theories ever developed, and I, as a physicist who might have once have said, you know, Einstein's theory of general relativity was the greatest intellectual leap in humankind, as I've begun to study things, I really begin to think that Darwin and his realization of a single person sort of changing a fundamental picture about how life evolves is really what was probably the greatest intellectual leap that was ever taken.